Let me do a quick sound check. It's okay? Okay, great. So this evening, I'll be offering some reflections that are in the spirit of this wind element. And I was walking up the hill coming in to the hall, and I was noticing how much cooler it is. Temperatures dropped, and I was feeling into the breeze as I was walking up the hills, and I could see the flags that were down by the kitchen just sort of flapping and blowing in the wind. And I was really inspired by this quality of the wind element that has an aspect of play in it. It dances, it moves, it has a certain spontaneity in it. And that's not to say that the wind element can't be extremely powerful and destructive. I come from the Midwest, so I know the power of wind with tornadoes. But I want to explore as finding a way in this evening through this dancing, this playing, this motion. And another little sort of bit of context for tonight. There's two big pieces of my lived experience. One big piece is science. So I spend a lot of time developing the mind in this area of science. And this other part is Dhamma. Spent a lot of time developing the heart mind with Dhamma. So I've brought with me two books. One is Seven Brief Lessons on Physics. And the first thing I'll have you note is notice how slim this book is, right? It's not a tome on physics. It's quite slim. So this is not always, but it's a good indicator that there might be some knowledge in this kind of book. The other book I brought with me is a Dhamma book. One Robe, One Bowl, The Zen Poetry of Ryokan. Notice again, very slim, yes? Not a big tome, yet lots of knowledge. So we'll play with this, we'll dance in the midst of this. And to help us enter, to sort of find that handle that I was talking about earlier that lets us open the door to step into experience, I'm going to start with a joke. And this is a joke that I heard from my dear friend and colleague, Gulu Singh. And just to say, full caveat, full disclosure, there are not many Buddhist jokes. And within the small universe of Buddhist jokes, there are even fewer that relate to the wind element. I mean, this is like, I got down to one, okay? So here we go, with that caveat, right? So it goes like this. Several months ago, Pat went on a week-long retreat just like this one. So there was sitting meditation, there was movement meditation. And when the retreat ended, Pat returned home and started working again as a caretaker at the local zoo. And on the first day back, Pat's boss asked, "How was the retreat?" It's a very loaded question, right? And so Pat paused, there was a long silence, and said, "It was good. There was a lot of sitting and a lot of silence." So Pat's boss smiled and replied, "Well, I'm glad to hear that the retreat was good. Why don't you take care of the turtles today, since that'll probably be the best fit?" So Pat agreed and left. A few hours later, Pat's boss decided to stop by and check in on how Pat was doing, right? Reintegration from retreat. So to the boss's surprise, there was Pat looking confused, standing next to the open door of an empty turtle habitat. Pat's boss ran up. "What happened? Where are the turtles?" Pat paused, long, pregnant, quiet pause, looked up and said, "I don't know. I came here like you said, and then I opened the door to feed the turtles, and whoosh." That's it. That's the joke. But what I want you to linger with, even with that joke, is the sense of relief. Can you feel that? It's like, ah, there's a buildup, there's a setup, and there's a moment of relief. So you may have that experience. I want you to remember this joke when you go home. It's like you open the door of the turtle habitat, whoosh! It's like, what happened? I don't know what happened. But this is really pointing to something that's quite important. So I'm going to come back again and again. We're going to kind of play and dance within this space, but I want you to just sort of remember this quality, this sense of relief that we can feel, you know, even if it's just a little small bit in that joke that I shared. So now a little bit about my own practice. In the beginning, I was a lot like Pat. So I didn't know how to integrate what was happening for me in practice and what I was experiencing. So I felt like practice was here and my life was somewhere over there. And I had grown up with two worlds. So in school and work, Dana had alluded to this, that efforting and this fast analytical mind, it was really valued and rewarded. And I really prized myself on developing that fast, quick, analytical mind. And I was rewarded for it. In practice and on retreat, it was a complete opposite. So when I efforted, I struggled. And the invitation was always to slow down, become more embodied, and to see what's here. So what to do with all of this, right? And so I'll pause here just for a minute. Show of hands, how many of you can relate to some aspect of this? Okay? So let's take the data in. Just sort of take that in for a moment, right? And I'm pausing deliberately because I don't want to lose the earth element. And this is what Dana was talking about this morning, that even as we move into wind, the motion, the play, the dance, we don't want to forget the earth element. So just a pause. We can rest for a minute. But it's at this very point of interest. How do we do this? How do we integrate this? This moment of curiosity that we can find a handle, a doorway in, something we can step into with an experience. And so here's how we can do that. This is how I'm going to offer it tonight anyways, is I'm going to review some knowledge as opposed to information from the instructions, from what we've all been doing here. And then we're going to apply it in real time. And again, very kind of flowing from what Dana and Tweri and all of us have been sharing as the instructions. So the first piece of knowledge, this is the knowledge of feeling into experience. This is what we've been referring to over and over and over as the felt sense experience. And this felt sense experience always happens here in this body, and it always happens now in this present moment. Can't happen anywhere else. And the Buddha was quite clear on this point. So this is from the Anguttara Nikaya, which is the numerical discourses. I tell you that there is no making an end of suffering and stress without reaching the end of the cosmos. Yet, it is just within this fathom-long body with its perception and intellect that I declare that there is the cosmos, the origination of the cosmos, the cessation of the cosmos, and the path of practice leading to the cessation of the cosmos. So in this fathom-long body, when we feel into experience, we can find the very conditions that help us to release that stress and that suffering. It's not out there. It's right here, right here. So when I first heard that, I was like, what? I don't totally get that. What is that? And this is a process, and that's what we're doing. And this is all about this arriving. And many of you are going to be at different points in this arriving process. Many of you might still be arriving. We're only on day two of the retreat. It's not that you are trying to have any particular experience. Your experience is your experience. That's it. And it's so immediate that we can miss it. I love in the Tibetan tradition, they'll often talk about it as it's closer than your eyelid. But we don't, it's just, we filter it out. We don't notice when we blink. It's not there. So if we are available, if we show up and we're available for experience, and we're not trying to have an experience, this is what is meant by practicing practice. So not practicing results, which is a total setup. You can ask me how I know. I've done this many times. And at best, when we are practicing results, it's a scavenger hunt. We're looking for clues, we're following things around, we're searching, and we're really hoping for that big reveal at the end. That's at its best. At its worst, it's a hunting party. And what we do is that we intensely track and we try to capture an experience. And if we don't get it, we get really mad and frustrated. So again, feel into this. Is this true in your experience? And what might this be pointing to? So if we release, again, this quality of receiving, resting, non-contention, no longer hunting for something, can you feel how there's so much more ease and permission? There's that, again, sense of relief. And so this is where we also have more choice. We let go of shoulds. If I was being very crass, we stop shoulding on ourselves. And it's funny, but at the same time, it's also like, ow, right? So it's both of these. And I want to hold this complexity. I'm pointing and I'm being a little bit edgy, but at the same time, I want to hold the texture of this, the feeling of it. And I know this. I know this from my own lived experience in this fathom-long body. To use Dana's words, I've run this experiment. The data's in. And so as teachers, we were talking about this a little bit, and we were sharing that in the groups today how, you know, the retreat schedule, it's just a form, but it's a great example of how we can feel into when we lose that sense of choice or we lose that sense of ease and permission. And so we can mistake the schedule, the form, for the practice itself. And if we do that, we inadvertently get caught in the idea of being the perfect retreatant or the good retreatant. And again, you can ask me how I know. How many retreats did I try to be the good retreatant, the perfect retreatant, follow the schedule, come to everything? But that's just a form. It's not the practice itself. The form is there to help us to relax. Because when the structure is there, we can let go of some of the tension that we might otherwise have. We can let go of needing a watch. We can slow down because we know that it's always sitting, moving, sitting, eating, sitting, moving. It's not a lot of complexity, right? And this is really important because, again, as we feel into this, it's not stimulating the mind so much, yeah? But when we start to feel tight, constrained, when we start to feel like we're rubbing up against the experience with this kind of friction, there's a heat, then that's when we want to remember this wisdom of this earth element. Oh, how can I rest? How can I bring in a quality of just grounding a little bit more, more capacity. And we can actually let the form go, and instead we might actually take some time, particularly if we're feeling stuck, to go take a hike and we watch the hawks playing in the sky, or we feel the wind as it dances in the grass. We feel it blowing on our skin, and we watch the play of the grass. It's this uplift that Tuareg was talking about in the session this afternoon. It takes us out of feeling stuck. Can you feel it again? There's that relief. So again, this is practical. It's meant to be immediate, very practical. So let's do a little bit of this. Let's apply this in real time. It's just a way to help us. This little review of the knowledge can help us integrate it. So take a moment and just arrive right here in this room. We're all here sharing this space together. And it's right now. It's that close, right now. And we can feel into this experience. We can feel into this kind of presence. We have a kind of clarity that we're aligned with. But there's also kindness, gentleness. Clear and kind, here and now. And we're not hunting for some experience, not trying to get something. What's already here? What can you feel into in your own fathom-long body? You're alive. How mysterious. How amazing. There's stillness. There's movement. There's aliveness. Right here. Okay, so we can just feel again. It's always stepping into the experience. We find a way in. We find the doorknob or the handle. Open the door and step in. So from this arriving, we come to this second piece of knowledge. And this second piece of knowledge is the experience of ground. And this experience of ground starts quite tangibly. Something that is we begin to feel or know through the physicality of this body. But it doesn't end there. Actually, it gets more and more and more subtle. We can feel grounded in our own aliveness. We can feel ground in the flow and the waves of emotion. Zen even points to the groundless ground. So we never leave what we know or experience. It's just that our understanding becomes more nuanced, more refined. And so this is when we have these moments, and they can be just moments, these experiences of rest, feeling connected, feeling more capacity. We're really feeling in just a moment supported, held. Oh. And these were all things that were shared last night in this hall when Dana was opening to the field reports. And it's even just a hint of a hint, easily satisfied. So it doesn't need to be some big thing. And this ties back to the first knowledge that our experience is our experience. Because we're not looking for something. So we're content and we're easily satisfied. We're not hunting. And this is precisely where these heart qualities can come in. So it's no mistake that when you hear us say, easily satisfied and contented, there's actually a basis for this. It comes from the Karaniya Metta Sutta, the Buddha's words on loving kindness. So I want to make this connection explicit. So this is from the Buddha's words on loving kindness. And listen for that phrase that you've heard us say. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied. Direct connection to the heart, right here. And as Tori said this afternoon, we live in a society that can poo-poo the heart. And yet it has this capacity to hold experience even when the mind is afraid, when it's restless. All these different experiences can be held. So this knowledge of ground means that we know, not intellectually, but we know viscerally, that we're okay even when experience gets difficult. So if there's chronic pain, I have chronic pain. It's been with me for 20 years. Or if we have a really difficult emotion, and oh, there have been retreats where I thought I had to leave that retreat right at that moment. It was too much. I couldn't come to the hall. And so there are moments. But when we have this knowledge of ground, we start to feel and trust that we can be okay in the midst of it all. Instead of, I'll only be okay when this pain or emotion goes away. It's conditional. And so this is one of the reasons why Tueri, myself, and Dana spend so much time emphasizing the earth element, really inviting our bodies to be connected to the earth so that we're grounded. We can begin to have a hint of this contentment, this well-being, these heart qualities of loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, equanimity. So much capacity. And this is another place to enter. It's a doorknob to the door of the heart. And it lets us enter into the fullness of experience, connected, related, wholeheartedly. So this is where I'll bring in a short first excerpt from 7 Brief Lessons on Physics. And I want to read this excerpt because, so this is from the Italian physicist Carlo Rovelli, and he's the founder of loop quantum gravity theory. Now, I couldn't tell you what that is, but I want to read it because what he's talking about is this entering into this wholehearted human experience, the fullness of what it means to be a human being. But he's describing it through his particular lens, his doorway of physics, and his experience of relationship to physics. So Carlo writes, and again, listen with these kind of openness, availability. So Carlo writes, it's as if a friend were whispering into my ear an extraordinary hidden truth, suddenly raising the veil of reality to disclose a simpler, deeper order. Ever since we discovered that Earth is round and churns like a mad spinning top, we have understood reality is not as it appears to us. Every time we glimpse an aspect of it, it is a deeply emotional experience. Yeah? And so many of you have reported this. Isn't this true? It's like when we step into the fullness of life, when we get a glimpse of this, of even just a glimpse of resting on earth. What is it, earth resting on earth? It's a deeply emotional experience. And the rational thinking mind, the ordinary habit mind, the mind that I loved so much, that quick analytical mind, can't get me there. And this also provides a kind of confidence in our practice. So even if I told you, if I sat up here and told all of you, each of you, feeling ground is not possible, you would say to me, yes, it is. I felt it. I've gotten a hint of it. It's true in my lived experience. And this is why it matters. Can you feel how this is deeply integrated? It's not dependent on something that you hear from me. So let's apply this knowledge again. Let's do a little application. So this experience of ground. So let's pause. And this gentle invitation, inviting the weight of this body, physicality of this body, inviting it to rest down. Not a command, it's an invitation, a wise relatedness, earth knowing earth. Totally natural. And yet totally immediate. And feel for yourself the truth of this ground. That there can be a confidence in the felt sense of this ground. And even if it's not a total confidence, but in time, you can trust this experience of ground. And it's based on your own lived experience in this fathom-long body. So now staying connected to this experience of ground, again, not getting rid of it, as Dana said, I'm going to introduce this last piece of knowledge. And there's many more, but this will be kind of enough for this evening. This third piece of knowledge is staying steady in the midst of changing experience. And we can first get a very clear sense of this knowledge from the contrast of the wind element with the earth element. So in the instructions this morning, Dana guided us through that contrast. So as we were with earth resting on earth, some sense of stillness or groundedness, that was in the background. And then in contrast, the wind element came in. And we'll do this in a minute. So I'm just describing it, and then we'll apply it. And this review can be helpful at times. That's why I'm spending time now. And it's this contrast of the stillness of the earth element with the motion of the wind element that gives rise to this important knowledge that we are staying steady, or we can stay steady. We can stay relatively still in the midst of a lot of motion and a lot of change. We feel grounded. We feel steady, even while we feel movement, motion, change. And this is very different, at least for me, in how I used to try to know motion while I was in motion. And when I did that, I just get swept away. So the movement of a thought, or even just coming to the movement of the breath without any sort of arriving or grounding, sometimes we can just get swept away. Breath, breath, oh, thought, thought. Ding. 30 minutes later, there's the end of the sit. Right? And we've all had some version of this experience. Motion trying to know motion is motion. Steadiness, knowing motion, different experience. So let's try this. I'm going to try this with earth contrasting with the wind element. So again, notice how we sort of are building the arriving, the experience of ground, staying connected to the felt sense. So again, touching back in for you to that experience of the body, the physicality of this form, of this body resting on the earth. So pausing as we feel into the experience of ground. Allowing whatever spontaneous feeling of ground or stillness that may be present, letting it to get as big or as deep or as expanded as it wants to get. Now staying connected to this ground, this relative stillness. Allowing this groundedness to be here, but just to be a little bit more in the background. So we're still connected, we're still grounded. But in the foreground of our awareness, we start to know, to feel the sweet movement, the caress of the wind element. It's what we call breathing. It's almost like the wind caressing or moving over a boulder. The boulder is steady, grounded in the earth. And the wind plays and dances on the surface of the rock, grounded, steady, and steady in knowing movement. So much capacity. So much ease. And it's the contrast that gives rise to this knowledge. Grounded. And we feel the motion while we're grounded. And as we have different experiences, emotion, or even very subtle experiences, we can still feel what it means to be grounded in the midst of a wave of emotion, or in the midst of a surge of energy, exuberance, excitement. There's that ground. So for me, this knowledge was really, really important in my life because, as I said, from an early age, I had learned from school and work to put in a lot of effort. And this was rewarded. It was encouraged. So I studied economics, cognitive science, I became a scientist, I developed skills in math and analysis, and I fell in love with science. I still love it, totally love it. And it's useful, it's helpful. And this is the important part, I also realized through meditation that I could easily get untethered. I could easily get caught up in the exuberance of an idea or a theory or a concept. And sometimes even have the thought, this is it, I found it. Anytime you have that thought, I will take some of my own experience, repaint it, and offer it for more than it's worth. But if you have that thought, it's not it. And this is important because at best, it's just an approximation. It's a sketch. Yeah? It's never the totality of the experience. So this is where I bring in Zen. There's a famous Zen proverb, many versions of this proverb, and I'll give you one version of it. And it goes like this. There was a wise Zen teacher who lived in a hermitage on a mountain. People came from far and wide to ask for teachings from this Zen teacher. One day, a renowned scholar came to visit the teacher for advice. The scholar said, I've come to ask you about Zen, something I too have studied. Each time the Zen teacher began to speak, the visiting scholar almost immediately interrupted and began talking about their ideas, their views, and opinions, but failed to listen to what the Zen teacher was offering. The Zen teacher calmly suggested that they should have some tea. So the Zen teacher poured the scholar guest a cup. The cup was filled, yet the Zen teacher kept pouring until the cup overflowed onto the table, onto the floor, and finally onto the scholar's robes. And at this point, it was too much. The scholar shouted, "Stop! The cup is full already. Can't you see that?" "Exactly," the Zen teacher said with a smile. "You are like this cup. So full of ideas that nothing more will fit in. Come back to me with an empty cup." So this is what Terry, Dana, and I are constantly pointing back to. Here, here. Letting loose of the stories, the ideas, the views, the opinions about your experience, or about what you think you're doing, or what you think you should be doing, or about the comparing, or the judging, or the fixing, all habits, right? Normal habits of the human mind. But all of these create distance. They create separation. Distance and separation create anxiety. What we're pointing to is integration. Instead, we make contact with what's right here in this fathom-long body. What's the felt sense of this experience? And I do want to say, at least I will say this. Let me say it for myself. I don't want to speak for my colleagues. It's a bit misleading when I use the word emptiness like it's a static thing. It's actually quite alive. So instead, another way to understand it is just like what this Zen proverb is pointing to. It's a process of emptying. So we're emptying the cup of all of these preconceived ideas, concepts, views, and opinions. And this is so important because how I am, how life is, doesn't need to be filtered through the views, the opinions, and the ideas. It can be if I want it to be. And sometimes it works as a strategy for a while. But usually I get stuck. And this again is what Terry was pointing to. And at this point, when we get stuck, this is where the elements, this shift in perspective, can be so, so helpful. We experience the story, the view, the emotion, the thought, whatever it happens to be. And we see it as a characteristic of our experience, just as the elements have characteristics, like the heaviness of earth, the movement of wind. But it doesn't define the totality of our experience. Can you feel that again? Relief. It's not the totality of our experience. It's just an experience. And this is another doorway into the fullness of life, into this multidimensional experience, this mysterious experience that we call life. It's pulsing, it's vibrating, it's moving, it's full of space, it's alive. And notice that these are all felt sense words. Yeah? So again, this is another excerpt from the 7 brief lessons on physics. So Carlo Rovelli writes, "For now, this is what we know of matter. A handful of types of elementary particles which vibrate and fluctuate constantly between existence and non-existence and swarm in space, even when it seems there is nothing there. Combining together to infinity like the letters of a cosmic alphabet to tell the immense history of galaxies, of the innumerable stars, of sunlight, of mountains, woods, and fields of grain, of the smiling faces of the young at parties, and of the night studded with stars." So can you feel into this again? It's this invitation. There's more dimensionality, so much more aliveness, so much more space. It's beyond stories. It's before thought. It's a deeply emotional experience. Again, quoting from the earlier excerpt. So I'll close with a poem from Ryokan. And so Ryokan was a Zen monk that lived in the late 18th, kind of early 19th century, and spent much of his life living alone in a small cottage on the hillside of Mount Kagami in Japan. And this poem is a door. It's another door. So Ryokan would say, "Who says my poems are poems? If you don't understand that my poems are not poems, we can't talk about poetry. So this poem is a door into the fullness and the mystery of life. It provides a handle that we can open and step into. So Ryokan writes, "A cold night, sitting alone in my empty room, filled only with incense and smoke. Outside, a bamboo grove of 100 trees. On the bed, several volumes of poetry. The moon shines through the top of the window, and the entire neighborhood is still, except for the cry of insects. Looking at this scene, limitless emotion, but not one word." So this is the mystery. This is what the Buddha points to when the Buddha is saying, these six elements, we can understand this human experience in this fathom-long body. So thank you for your kind attention. And let's just pause and rest for a minute or two. So we'll have a movement period. I'm just looking at the schedule. And then coming back in about 15 minutes, if you have the energy. And I'll offer just actually one more very short poem from Ryokan and one short excerpt from this book. That's the teaser. So if you have the energy, come back and I'll share it at the beginning. And then we'll just be in silence. And then at the half an hour, the 9:15, I'll ring the bell. And for those of you that would like rest, then take some rest. And if you'd like to stay and you have the energy to sit, I'll sit in the hall. I like to sit for a while. So thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.